Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. When is it the right time? It was a day like any other day in the bustling city of Philippi in Greece. Commerce was the main feature of that city, and it was not uncommon for young girls who were captured as slaves to be used as fortune tellers, a thriving business in those days. Some Christian missionaries were in the city to spread the Judeo-Christian faith that was taking the region by storm. This new religion was nothing like other religions because they claimed to have had a Jewish leader named Jesus who was crucified and miraculously came back to life 3 days later. His followers go on to tell the story that 40 days after he came back from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, and sometime later they were organized into a church by the Holy Spirit. And from a simple beginning there in Jerusalem, this new movement spread like wildfire, spilling over into neighboring cities and provinces. And in a few short years, they were in parts of Europe, including Philippi. Two of their popular preachers, Paul and Silas, were going to get into trouble in that city. For days, a young slave girl followed them, screaming that these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. That would have been helpful, except they knew she was possessed by an evil spirit. And so on one of those days, they had had enough of her rantings, and they ordered the demon spirit to come out of her. It did, and that was when pandemonium broke loose. Suffice it to say, these two Jewish missionaries were thrown into jail, fastened in stocks like common criminals. These guys turned prisoners were singing, yes, singing while they were in chains, and around midnight there was a violent earthquake. The fortified jail was shaken at its foundation. Doors flew open and chains were broken. When the earthquake died down, the jailer swore the prisoners escaped, especially Paul and his colleague Silas, and he was about to commit suicide when Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." That was music to the jailer's ears, and in a strange twist of events, he asked the Christian prisoners, "What must I do to be saved?" Let me stop there to talk on what it means to be saved. Was he lost? Was he in danger? Yes to both questions. The strange thing was that Paul and Silas were not even preaching that night. They were singing praises and worship songs in their prison cell. Nobody said anything to them about being saved, but here was their jailer asking them, what should he do to be saved? What should he do to become a child of God? That's what it means to be saved. You would not believe what Paul and Silas told the jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your family. That night, sometime after midnight, the jailer and his family, they all became children of God. They were all saved. When is it a good time to become a child of God? What signs should one look for that would suggest that it is a good time? In John 3, we read about Jesus having an after-hours meeting with a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. He was the one who requested the meeting, and Jesus explained to him in the simplest form that it would be wise to give his heart to the Lord that night. But Nicodemus had a ton of questions for Jesus, and it is fair to assume that he left the company of Jesus that night without being born again. The next time we meet him was he and some other guy named Joseph. They had come to bury Jesus. On that occasion, it seemed that he had now become a secret follower of Jesus. Back to our discussion about being saved. There were two career criminals who were crucified the same day with Jesus, one on either side. One of them joined the crowd and teased Jesus by asking him to save himself and come and release us from the cross. Jesus did not respond. The other thief, recognizing who Jesus was and realizing that this was his last chance, he practically begged Jesus to save him. Jesus did. Wow, talk about getting saved in the nick of time. Had he spoken like his colleague, he probably would have died a sinner and entered into hell. Smart guy to have made use of the short time he had left on earth to have made the decision to be saved. So we come back to the question of when is it the right time to get saved? Many people want to get saved, but they rather wait until they're old and lying in bed and slowly dying. Sometimes one enters into a coma or a state of unconsciousness or have a motor vehicle accident or is shot to death or die in their sleep. Jesus does not make any promise to anyone about when they should get saved. If you grew up in church like me, you would have got saved a dozen times over, because in those days, preachers were spitting out strong gospel sermons, and when they were done, they beseeched you to come and give your hearts to the Lord that night. I saw many people terrified about going to hell forever would choose to get saved that night. But sadly, I have heard of people who found themselves in churches, and instead of giving their life to Jesus, they walked out of the church, and not long after, they would die from some unfortunate cause. They died without getting saved. It was on one of those occasions that I consciously gave my heart to Jesus. That night, when I got saved, I became a child of God. There has never been anything quite like how I felt that night. I was, and I'm still happy to be a Christian. So, to answer the question, the time is now. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. There is nothing more I can say to convince you to give your heart to the Lord this very minute, this very day. But please don't put it off. You might never get another chance, and I don't want you to end up in hell after death.